Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Stew. I'm your host, Daniel Conley, and I'm going to be here with you for probably around the next 30 to 45 minutes. And once again, the show is all about St. Mary's basketball for the most part, and then also college basketball in general. And then, you know, we're going to be getting into some college baseball because it is now that time of year where college baseball is in the happenings, and it does not get that much coverage, of course, other than like maybe an ESPNU. So hopefully I can do it justice. But anyways, let's start off real fast with our St. Mary's Gales. And really, actually, we're going to start off with the rankings this week. And a fellow WCC opponent and really our rival, Gonzaga, has reached the top of the polls. They are now the number one team in the nation, getting 51 of the first place votes. So congratulations to them. It's very good news for them. Obviously, you know, being an opponent of them, you know, we don't want to see that happen, but at the same time, it kind of makes our division, our WCC conference look that much better. So if there's any silver lining in them getting to the number one poll, it's saying, hey, you know, we played them hard twice. You know, we're able to, you know, play with just about anyone. Now, unfortunately, I apologize. I was not able to be on air last week. There's some complications with me getting into the studio. So if you guys were looking forward to listening to me then, I'm sorry, but you know what, I am here now, so that's always good. But really fast, I'm going to run down the rankings. I'm going to go 1 through 10, try to highlight some things for each team, and then I will be moving down, try to go a little bit faster with 11 through 25. And I'm going to be going through the AP Top 25. On the USA Today, St. Mary's is in the rankings. They are number 23, so that's awesome for our St. Mary's Gales. They are just outside the rankings in the AP Top 25. They're probably about 27th or so. So really very, very close to getting in the Top 25. But anyways, once again, at the top, Gonzaga with 51 first-place votes. They're a complete team. They got Gary Bell Jr. on the outside shooting threes like no other. Kevin Pangos is a great point guard. He's the equivalent of our Dellavedova. They also have Kelly Olynyk and Elias Harris with great inside presence. They also have a guy named Karnowski who's a 7-1 freshman who sometimes comes in and does a very good job. They just have a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and really it's clicking for them. Once again, their only two losses were to Butler and Illinois. Butler was on a last-second loss, and Illinois was just a poor-played game by Gonzaga. So really, really interesting right there. And the reason why they're number one is because the number two team, Indiana, did lose this week to Minnesota, actually. That was a Big Ten matchup for them. And they're now down to number two, which really, at this point, I don't think it matters much. They're going to make the tournament, you know, they're going to make the final 68, and it's going to be not that big of a deal. Next, we have Duke, number three, who, you know, beat Miami, Florida this weekend, which is a very, very impressive win, especially after, you know, Miami, Florida beat them by over more than 25 points at their home court. And I think it was his name is Ryan Kelly, came back for Duke in this game, and he scored, I believe, 36 points, which is an impressive feat in any level, and really the college level. I think he was 7 from 9 from 3-point land, so he was just on. He was just firing on all cylinders. So really impressive from Duke in Ryan Kelly in general. Next, we have Kansas, who is 25-4. And, you know, Kansas always there. Bill Self has brought up a good program there every year. And, you know what, they're in the mix once again. This one's a surprise to, I think, to not necessarily a lot of people, but Georgetown is number 5 in the nation now. They were unranked at the start of the year, and really they've been working very, very well to get back up to the ranking that they are at now. They have beat some very, very good teams. They did lose to Indiana in overtime. They did beat UCLA. And they had some great wins in general. They also beat number 24 Notre Dame at the time, number 5 Louisville at the time, number 18 Marquette, and they also beat Syracuse, who was number 8 at the time. Then they did go to double overtime against Connecticut, but they did win. They have two more games on the schedule. They have Villanova and Syracuse, but they are looking good right now. Once again, they are 23-4, excuse me, and 13-3 in the Big East. So very impressive. And Big East has some good schools like a Syracuse in there as well. So, you know, really impressive from them to see, from them. Next, we have Miami, Florida at the number 6 seed, and they are 23-5 and 14-2 in the ACC. Now, they were 12-0 at one point, and they lost to Wake Forest, and then they also lost to Duke just this last weekend, only by 3, though. They still have a commanding lead in the standings for the ACC. They are 14-2, while Duke is 12-4. It looks like they need to wrap up against Georgia Tech and Clemson to keep that crown. But really, you know what? They had some really tough opponents this whole year. The ACC is one of the, you know, top basketball divisions. They did beat Michigan State early in the year. They lost to Arizona by 19 early in the year. And then they come on and not beat Duke. They just destroy them by 27, winning 90-63. Then beat NC State a week or two later. And then they just keep on winning. They had some tough losses actually to FGCU, which is Florida Gulf Coast. They lost to them in their second game. So it looks like Miami was really not firing on all cylinders at that point. Looks like they really weren't able to understand who they were. They also lost to Indiana State in overtime. But, you know, it's a very, very, very senior-heavy team. So, you know, now they're starting to figure out who they are. Shane Larkin, Barry Larkin's son, is obviously a big piece to that puzzle for Miami, Florida. Next, we have number 7, Michigan, who is 24-5 and 11-5 in the Big Ten. And really, they've had a tough schedule this whole year. One of the toughest, you know, in the nation. They are second in the conference, tied with 4 other teams here I'm looking at right now. Michigan State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin are all 11-5 in the conference, while Indiana is 13-3 in the conference. They have some big wins against NC State, number 18 at the time when they played them. Also, they actually lost against Ohio State when they were 15th, beat Minnesota when they were number 9, and then beat Ohio State once again in overtime when they're number 10, then also beat Michigan State just on March 3rd, which was just yesterday actually, 58-57. So a very close game that Michigan was able to pull out. And they do have Purdue and then Indiana left on their schedule. So a very tough test still for Michigan. And, you know, that's what you get for playing, I want to say, the best basketball conference in the nation in the Big Ten. Next, we have Louisville at number 8, who's 24-5 and 12-4 in the Big East. They are second in the Big East rankings right now, with Georgetown being first, 13-3, and Marquette tied with them, 12-4, Pittsburgh, 11-6, Syracuse, 10-6, and Notre Dame, 10-6. They've had some good wins. They did lose to Duke when they were number 5 by 5 points. They've lost to Syracuse, actually, lost to Notre Dame, and they finally beat a ranked team in Syracuse, 58-53, just on March 2nd. So really, it's been a tough year for them against formidable opponents. They've lost, you know, once again, like I said, to Duke. They went on a great winning streak, but they did not play any ranked teams at that point. Lost to Syracuse, lost to Villanova, lost to Georgetown, all 3 in a row right there. Then win 3 and then lose to Notre Dame. So, and the Notre Dame game was a 5 overtime game, so that one's a little tough right there. But at the same time, it's a little disappointing to see Louisville. I mean, they're in the top 10, but they've been able to beat one ranked opponent, which is, you know, obviously very, very prized, I think, you know, when it comes to stuff like that. Next, we have Kansas State, who is number 9 in the country, and they are 24-5 and 13-3 in the Big 12. They are second in the conference behind Kansas. Actually, they're tied with Kansas, really, and they are 13-3. So is Kansas as well. They have a loss to Michigan, a loss to Gonzaga, Gonzaga being the number 1 team in the nation now, a win against Florida when they were number 8 at the time, a win against Oklahoma State, who is number 22 and actually number 13 now, and they're right one game behind Kansas State in the rankings. They did lose both matchups to Kansas, which is obviously very, very important for Kansas to be in front of them right now. And it looks like they have TCU on March 5th, and then March 9th they are playing at Oklahoma State, so that'll be another very good game in that Big 12 right there. Next, we're going to the number 10 team and the Michigan State Spartans. They're 22-7 and 11-5 in the Big Ten. I know that they've had some tough tests. Once again, the Big Ten, I'm calling it the best basketball conference. You can call me out, but, you know, I'm sticking by my word. And they've really had a tough test in general. They have lost to number 9 Minnesota at the time, 78-63 on December 31st. They beat Kansas early in the year. They lost to Kentucky to start the season off. Then they went on to beat Kansas, lost to Miami, Miami being one of the top teams in the nation now, which is pretty impressive. Then they went on to beat Ohio State, lost to Indiana, beat Minnesota once again, avenging that loss earlier in the year, beat Michigan, but then went on to lose to Indiana, Ohio State, and then Michigan. So they've lost 3 in a row. So it's really, really tough for them, especially if they want to continue their chances to win the Big Ten, which looks like it's just out of grasp now. They are now going to play Wisconsin on March 7th and then end with Northwestern. Really, once again, that's the toughest division in basketball, or toughest conference, or at least for what I'm trying to say. You know, I might be a little biased there, but in it's tough for them to win out and really be consistent in that division. And obviously, losing three in a row is never good in any sport. So hopefully they're able to end that streak against Wisconsin. Next, we're going to go through 11 through 25 to try to get a little, hiccup of information on each team. We have Florida at number 11, New Mexico at number 12. New Mexico was unranked, actually, at the start of the year. And they just came on by storm. And really, no one knows who they are. They're in the Mountain West Conference. They're 12-2 there. And they beat Colorado State, who was number 22 at the time. And, they played some formidable opponents. They beat Cincinnati when they were number 8 by 1, beat UNLV when they were ranked, and also beat Connecticut when they were ranked. They do have losses to, it looks like, SD State, South Dakota State right there. And then also they have another loss to San Diego State and then also to UNLV. And then also to, it looks like, St. Louis. And St. Louis is number 16 in the nation. And really, they're one of the better teams because they've beaten Butler twice. And we'll get to that a little bit later. Next, we go to Oklahoma State. Once again, they're in the Big 12. Kansas is at the top of that division. And then Kansas State is right behind them. Oklahoma State ends with Kansas State. So obviously that'll be a big, huge game right there. They have two, looks like, I'm blanking on their names, but they have a point guard and I believe a forward that have been playing since high school together. So, they have a lot of good chemistry there. Ohio State has had a tough year. They're number 14. Marquette comes in at number 15. And the St. Louis Billikens come in at 16. Once again, they beat Butler twice. So they swept the season series, which is pretty impressive. Butler now not in the rankings. And really, Butler, a very, very good team. One of the two teams to beat Gonzaga. And then we have Syracuse coming in at number 17. Arizona coming in at 18. Oregon coming in at 19. Really, Oregon was ranked as high as, I want to say, number 8 at one time. They've fallen off the table. It's a growing program there. So it's good to see them in the rankings. And really, I think they'll continue to grow because Oregon, being sponsored by Nike, I feel like there's some influence there that they have the greatest gear, you see in the football, as well as the baseball now. They are ranked somewhat high in baseball. We'll get to that a little bit later. But it's impressive to see from Oregon. Next, we have Big Ten opponent Pittsburgh. They're at number 20. They're 23-7 this year. Then we have VCU and Shaka Smart. Always love seeing them in the top 25. Shaka Smart, I think, is one of the better coaches. He's a young guy. I think he's going to be there for a while. He doesn't necessarily care about where he's at in one sense. But he's a great, great coach. Next we have at number 22 Wisconsin. Then we have number 23 UCLA, and UCLA swept the season series against Arizona, beating them over the weekend on Saturday. Then we have number 24 Notre Dame, and then rounding it out is Memphis at number 25. So really, not very many WCC. If we're going from a WCC standpoint, there's only one WCC team in here, and that's Gonzaga. In the coaches poll, we have two WCC teams with St. Mary's, yes, our college, coming in at 23rd. So, once again, it's good to see them in the rankings and being recognized at least by one of the polls, and hopefully they'll continue to grow. And that's something we'll talk about at the other end of this break, guys. I'm going to be taking a quick break. Then we'll be right back here on KSMC 89.5, guys. This is Daniel. You guys are listening to The Sports Stew. Keep it locked here, guys. Alrighty, guys. And we are back here on KSMC 89.5 Moraga. This is Daniel. And once again, this is The Sports Stew. And we are back here and we're going to be talking about the St. Mary's Gales and their basketball team. They just wrapped up the regular season, actually, just this Saturday. And they had a win over Santa Clara on that Saturday. Unfortunately, I was not able to talk about them last week, but hopefully I'll be able to get into a little bit of depth with them just right now. They finished up the regular season 26-5, 14-2 in the WCC. Those two losses coming against Gonzaga, very disappointing losses. Obviously, we lost at the Kennel by 5, and that was a tough loss at the time. We go on a huge winning streak, don't lose a game. They come here. We lose to them once again by 17 this time. Really, a tale of two halves at the kennel. And then also down here at St. Mary's. You know, and the next thing you know, you would think they're a little deterred. Then they go to LMU. They beat LMU 61-50. Come back here, play BYU, win by 7, which was a game on ESPN2. Another big win for St. Mary's that might catapult them into, you know, the NCAA tournament. Because I've been saying it for a while. What is their, you know, what is their win? What is their important win that they had? And once again, they play BYU. They beat them. Then Creighton comes in, and they also beat Creighton once again. Creighton was a ranked team. Number 16, I believe, was their highest ranking at one point. So really, that's two impressive back-to-back wins after losing a tough heartbreaker to Gonzaga. Then they finish out the season against Pepperdine and then Santa Clara, and they beat both of them pretty handily. Santa Clara game was pretty close, actually. Senior-heavy Santa Clara. They were up 36-35 at half, and they blow them away a little bit in the second half, and they win 80-67. So good to see from our boys' basketball team. You know, they have the WCC championships in Las Vegas now. And that'll be interesting because, you know, you could write in St. Mary's is going to be in there as well as Gonzaga in the finals. And I'm not saying we need that automatic bid, but it'd definitely be nice. You know, once again, leaving it up to, you know, the writers and whoever that picks the top 68 teams. I don't know if they're going to necessarily, you know, look at the WCC, look at them overall, look at the people that were ranked in that, you know, in that conference and say, you know what, they deserve it. Because really, Gonzaga is the only team that really stands out in this conference. BYU, you know, historically pretty good, especially with Jimmer Fredette in, you know, past years. St. Mary's has definitely built up a reputation, even though with, you know, the violations, which I'm not going to discuss now because I don't necessarily know all of them, but I'll leave it at that. You know, there's not that many great teams in this division. You have three top teams with St. Mary's, BYU, and Gonzaga. And then, you know, you look at the rest, and it's more like, you know, you can walk over them. Now, Santa Clara did have a good year overall, going 21-10, and really doing well in the preseason before WCC play. But, you know, once again, is that enough? You know, St. Mary's is not ranked in the AP, but they are 23 in USA Today, which is, you know, important that we have that type of ranking, especially going into the WCC championships. If there's one thing that does need to happen for St. Mary's to get into the dance, that is to make it to the finals. And, you know, they could easily make it without going to the finals, but at the same time, you know, everything that is on your resume, that'll help. You know, you have that little thing, you know, if you're trying to apply for a job, that's something that'll help you. You know, I made it to the finals of WCC. My only losses in you know, regular season play, I guess, to my WCC opponents was to Gonzaga, who, oh, by the way, is now the number one team in the nation. What could easily happen is St. Mary's could overtake Gonzaga. It's their third time playing him, you know, third time's a charm. You could pull out all those superstitions if you want. But once again, they played Gonzaga well up at the kennel. They outscored him in the second half. Down here, they outscored Gonzaga in the first half. So, you know, I think they're very even teams. Obviously, Gonzaga stacks up better, I think, athletically and just basketball skills-wise. They have bigger people. Kelly Olynyk, Elias Harris for their big men more. Also, Karnowski and Weeb, Brad Waldo. In Kyle Raleigh. Kyle Raleigh, you know, and Brad Waldo both did a very good job in those two games, but at the same time, they needed to do more, you know, and especially in the second game here at McEwen Pavilion, it was a little frustrating to see because they had a lot of second chance opportunities, Gonzaga did, and, you know, they completed the three or, you know, finished the 3-point play. You know, they have another offensive rebound. Next thing you know, they dish it out to Gary Bell Jr., he hits a three. You know, they did a good job keeping Kelly Olynyk out of the picture for the most part, but, you know, that opens up Pangos and Gary Bell Jr. as well. And, you know, now they're able to hit the three. So, obviously, it's unfortunate for St. Mary's, but they did end up going on a winning streak, winning five of their last five. And overall, doing well ever since those two Gonzaga losses. Let's see, since they lost to Northern Iowa, actually. After that, they played Rhode Island, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. They were 18-2 in the last, basically, 3 months or so, 2 months or so of the season, so that's really impressive. Obviously, they had tough losses once again. I keep on reiterating this to Gonzaga, but once again, I see St. Mary's maybe being able to make it this year. And, you know, Randy Bennett would obviously be happy of his guys. You know, there's some guys that haven't really been able to step up this year, unfortunately. And, you know, one of those guys is James Walker III. It looks like he's been on the bench a little bit more. And it's a little frustrating, I think, for James Walker. And, you know, it happens, obviously. Yeah, let's look at the numbers really fast for the Santa Clara game. And Kyle Raleigh and Paul McCoy had no points. And then you look at James Walker, who's not even on the stat sheet, actually. And it doesn't look like he's on there, so a little frustrating for him. Delly, obviously, leading our team with 21 points. He was 0 for 7 from the three-point line, basically. So, once again, unfortunate. That's something I think he needs to figure out. And really, in general, our whole team, we were 25% from beyond the arc. And, you know, that doesn't cut it, and it won't cut it in the future. That was one of our big key points in, you know, in the past, was how well we shot the three ball. We were around 40%. You know, that's what, you know, brought us down from the Gonzaga game in the second half. And that's what happened in the Santa Clara game. Obviously, we were able to beat them. But still, you know, it's something that we need to work on, especially when, if we are able to make it to the dance. There's going to be some really good opponents. You know, I don't know necessarily what seed we'll get. We might get a 7 or 8 type of seed. I don't know how high or low we would get. You know, I don't know how much people respect St. Mary's, you know, especially being more of a West Coast school and not from a necessarily storied program like, you know, a Duke or something like that, where you expect them to do well and stuff like that, as well as being ranked high. And our schedule, for the most part, wasn't that tough this year. We had some losses to, you know, early in the season to University Pacific and Georgia Tech, and then once again University of Northern Iowa. Those were three losses that I thought were going to bite us in the butt. But really, one good thing that you could say about the Gaels is that they were able to compete in those last 20 games of the season, go 18-2, lose to a ranked team both times, and at the same time finish strong, finish extremely strong in the year. So that's my two cents on that. I hope they get into the tournament. They really needed to clean up business with the Las Vegas championship, with the WCC championship. So that is all I have on that. Real fast, we're going to be taking another quick break, guys, and then we're going to be coming back right back from break, and we're going to be talking about some baseball news. We have St. Mary's, who actually went 0 for 3 over the weekend, and they actually are in action today against UC Santa Barbara. I'm sure that game will be getting underway a little bit later, probably around 3 o'clock today. So I'll be talking about that, as well as some other big key games over the weekend, that or key series over the weekend that, you know, might have some big appeal. Cal State Fullerton versus Oregon, I'll probably key in on that one. I do know some guys in that game, so that's probably why I'm keying in on it. But anyways, guys, once again, this is 89.5 KSMC Moraga. Keep it locked here. Alrighty, guys, and we are back here on KSMC 89.5, and now we are switching over to some college baseball talk. First, we're going to start off with the WCC, some of you know the teams in play from the WCC over the weekend. We're going to start off with Friday on March 1st. Gonzaga actually took on the number 2 team in the nation in Arkansas, and Gonzaga was able to blank them 3-0. And that is very, you know, a very big part of their team was Marco Gonzalez, who was their starter, who's a high draft pick, actually, you know, supposed to be picked in the top, I think, 30 in the draft this year. And he was able to shut Arkansas out, and they won that game 3-0. Moving over to another, you know, another good matchup, Arizona, number 11 in the country from the Pac-12, actually beat San Francisco 6-4. San Francisco was able to get revenge, I believe, on March 3rd, and they were able to come back and beat them on that day. Oklahoma did play Pepperdine. Pepperdine not ranked, but really, I think, a very good team in general. And, you know, they've had some very good players come through there in the past, but number 15, Oklahoma, beat them 10-7 on Friday. And yes, this is a three-game series, but I'm obviously big on the Friday game because, you know, that's when your aces are matching up. That's I think, the most important game almost, in the sense that, you know, you see how well that your, you know, the other team's ace is and stuff like that. Obviously, you might have an off game, your ace is off, stuff like that. You know, the other team's hitting well, but at the same time, it's important. Next, we'll go to Portland, actually, UOP. They beat UC Irvine. UC Irvine, who's ranked number 23, and really, I think, a very good team. UC Irvine lost 2-0 in that game. And then going down to San Diego, they beat Gardner-Webb 5-0. Chris Bryant, the big prospect for USD, and he's supposed to be going in the top 10 of the draft, actually. Then we go to our St. Mary's Gaels, and the Gaels did not have a good showing over the weekend whatsoever. They lost 19-5 on Friday, and it was a poor game for them in general. Looking over the stats, it was tough, you know, looking at the stats. when, you know, we have as many errors as we do have runs. We had 5 errors in that game. And, you know, we look like, you know, we made UC Riverside look like they were a really, really great team. And UC Riverside scored all their runs in the first 5 innings. They scored 1 in the first, 9 in the second, 4 in the third, 1 in the fourth, and 4 in the fifth. And, you know, half that goes to, you know, them having a good, actually, you know, a good day. But at the same time, a lot of errors. Once again, like I said, 5 errors for the team. Jordan Mills gave up 10 runs, but only 2 of them were earned runs. So that's a little bit tough for him, as well as David Delacera came in, gave up 5 runs, and then Mark Anderson came in, you know, which is unfortunate to see Mark Anderson not starting in this game because of his, maybe he's not necessarily back to form because of his, you know, Tommy John surgery in the past. So hopefully he's still making a quick recovery back. Obviously, you know, it's a little frustrating for him, but hopefully we're able to see him this weekend, actually, for the Gales. And the Gales are actually playing at home this weekend, which will be good to see, and I will be luckily able to call that game, and they're going to be playing the Utah Utes out there from Utah, obviously, and they do not have CJ Cron anymore, CJ Cron going in the draft from Utah. Utah overall has a pretty good team, so, you know, got to be able to look out for them in the future. But anyways, guys, let's move over to some, you know, key games, I think, over the weekend in the weekend series, and one of those games was Oregon versus Cal State Fullerton. On these rankings, Oregon was ranked number 6, Cal State Fullerton number 18, and at this point, Fullerton had not lost, and they did not on Friday night. They won 8-2. They come back on March 2nd, and they play them once again, and they win 5-2. And then finally, Oregon gets some revenge on the Sunday and win 9-1. Really impressive, I think, by the Cal State Fullerton team in general. Those two wins came from Thomas Eshelman, who is a freshman from Carlsbad, California, and then Justin Garza from Bonita, and those are both freshmen there. Eshelman went a full 9, he went a CG, while Justin Garza went 8 innings, only giving up 2 runs, and then, you know, Michael Lorenzen, who is a huge draft prospect, came in and closed the game for them. So, you know, I was talking to my buddy about this actually a little bit, and, you know, it's surprising to see Cal State Fullerton doing so well with freshmen like this. Obviously, you know, will the freshmen be able to sustain over the, you know, the course of the season? They're going to be throwing more innings than they ever did before. You know, will their arm be able to catch up with them? It'll be interesting how they are able to work with that. You know, I mean, they're letting them go, letting them throw 9-8 innings already, but at the same time, how much does that matter and how much does it matter on the pitches you throw and how many pitches you have, you know, during your whole game? Another big series over the weekend was the Stanford-Texas one, actually. Stanford coming in number 14 in the nation, Texas number 25. Stanford wins the game on Friday 2-0, then they come back winning 7-2 on Saturday, and then win the finale 2-1 on a walk-off. And, you know, Stanford came here, actually, against the Gales, and they won 7-2. Very impressive team there, just fundamentally sound team. You know, one of the most impressive guys from that team was Danny DeKroger for me when he was in the game. Brian Ruggiero, their first baseman, is obviously a huge draft prospect. They do have Austin Wilson, who's injured, as well as A.J. Vanegas, who's injured. But they do have the number one draft prospect in Mark Appel, and Mark Appel did show up on that Saturday night, striking out 14 guys and having a CG with only giving up 3 hits against Texas, and they won that game 2-0. So once again, that's pretty impressive, very impressive by Mark Appel, you know, and he's really helping his draft stock out because, you know, it can only go down or, you know, stay where it's at. Next, we have another series that was pretty important was the Florida-Miami-Florida series, Florida number 29, Miami-Florida number 21. Miami-Florida won 3-2 the first game, and they come back on the Saturday, and Florida comes back, wins 6-4, and then Florida wins the finale in winning the series and wins that 6-3 right there. So pretty impressive by Florida. You know, obviously losing the Friday night game is always tough for, you know, your confidence as a team. Looks like they're able to figure that out and really work on that. And obviously they're fine where they're at right now. Looking ahead to next week, actually, give me 1 second. It'll be very, very interesting because every week, you know, especially when we get into more of the conference play, it'll be very good, especially the Pac-12 conference is always a tough conference, and then also the SEC and the ACC will be tough conferences. So really, I'm gonna focus in on the Big West, the WCC and the Pac-12 because regionally that is, you know, where we are at. So hopefully you guys are fine with that. But anyways, Cal Poly is going to be taking on Kansas State. You know, Cal Poly actually was in the rankings, I believe, number 28 at the time they went up to face Washington. Looks like they did all right against them. We'll see if they're still in the rankings after this. Cal State Bakersfield and UC Davis will be playing this weekend on a three-game set. Cal State Northridge and Sacramento State, will be playing. And then Long Beach State will be playing Arizona State. Arizona State, historically one of the more storied programs, you know, behind USC, obviously. Long Beach State, you know, had Troy Tulowitzki and Evan Longoria go through there, as well as Jared Weaver. So, you know, they have some very good storied baseball players that went through their program. Gonzaga will be taking on University of Pacific will be taking on TCU. TCU has been a very good baseball school as of late. UC Irvine will be taking on BYU. UC Riverside, who once again just swept the Gales, will be playing New Mexico. UC Santa Barbara will be taking on Texas. Texas coming off that three losses to Stanford. And then Texas A&M will be playing Cal State Fullerton. Texas A&M obviously is another good team. They're ranked number 30. Last week before their set against Rice, and actually they played in a little tournament over the weekend, so they did play a couple of different teams. And, you know, it'll be interesting to say that they did beat Rice, though, so that'll probably bump them up in the standings a little bit. So, once again, that is another big series, Cal State Fullerton versus Texas A&M. Cal State Fullerton now only having one loss on the season, which is, once again, impressive, especially with their schedule, their strength of schedule before their Big West play starts is pretty impressive. And the teams they're playing, you know, Coach Vanderhook over there is making sure his kids are working hard and really facing the top competition, because it'll only help them get better when really it matters, which is later in the season. And so far they are responding. Next we're going to be going to the Pac-12. Arizona will be taking on Columbia. That should be an easy three wins for Arizona. Arizona, one of the top teams in the nation, won the NCAA baseball championship last year, actually beating South Carolina. So it'll be interesting if they're going to be able to repeat. Long Beach State will be playing Arizona State. I already went over that one. Fresno State will be playing Cal. UCLA will be playing Notre Dame. UCLA was UCLA was a big contender last year with the last 2 years really. And you know, they fell off the table a little bit, but at the same time, they have a lot of young guys on that team, a lot of freshmen and sophomores that are, you know, performing for them. So it'll be interesting if they'll be able to sustain over, you know, once again the year. And Oklahoma will be taking on Southern California, or USC. And that is in the Dodgertown Classic, actually. That'll be at Dodger Stadium. If you guys are down south and, you know, looking for a baseball game, that'll be on Friday at 9 o'clock. It's probably going to be 6 o'clock. Next, we have Texas State will be taking on Oregon State. Oregon State, once again, a perennial power every year for baseball. It'll be interesting to see them. They are able to sustain a major league player that is, you know, very good, that's in the league right now. From Oregon State is Jacoby Ellsbury. He's with the Red Sox right now in his free agent year, actually. Next, we go over to Stanford. They'll be playing UNLV. Vanderbilt will be playing Oregon, another key series. Vanderbilt, one of the top teams in the nation. I believe they're at number 3 in the rankings. And Oregon was at number 9. I think they will drop, at number 6. But I believe they will drop a little bit more because of losing 2 of 3 to Cal State Fullerton. Next we go to Washington. We'll be playing LSU. LSU, once again, number 4 in the nation. Washington, a rebuilding type of program. They're in the Pac-12. It's tough to really compete in the Pac-12 like that, but Washington, once again, will have a tough test against LSU. And then Washington State looks like they will be playing a Texas team as well. And then St. Mary's will be playing the Utah Utes. That'll be our first West Coast Conference game that we're going over. That'll be this weekend, and that'll be here at Louis Gisto Field. I'll be calling the game. That first game will be at 2 o'clock on Friday. And it'll be, hopefully a better turnout for the Gales, and hopefully they won't make as many errors. I know the Gales, you know, aren't necessarily the greatest baseball team right now, but, you know, you want to see promises, you know, towards the future. Colin Ferguson is a very, very good hitter. He's a sophomore from Santa Cruz. Anthony Villa has started off the year extremely hot. He has a great swing right now. had 7 RBIs over the Chicago State weekend series. So, you know, there's promising guys on our team. We just need to piece it together. You know, Jordan Mills being a 6'5 lefty, huge draft prospect. Will he be able to, you know, do what he needs to do to, you know, get his team on the, you know, get his team to win like he did, especially against the Chicago State game on that Saturday. Next, we have Pepperdine taking on Seton Hall. San Francisco taking on Missouri. Gonzaga taking on Hawaii, like I said earlier. San Diego will be taking on Holy Cross. That is in a USD tournament, actually. Oklahoma State will be taking on LMU. LMU is a surprisingly good WCC team. They have a lot of guys from the Orange County, LA area. Orange County, I believe, is one of the best baseball areas to, you know, really get your baseball players from, especially draft guys. And LMU is looking like a very good team for, you know, the WCC and really making, a run at the title this year. Colin Wellman is their starter from Foothill High School. He's a sophomore, and, you know, he's pitched very, very, very well so far this year. Next, we have Seattle taking on Portland. San Jose State taking on Santa Clara. Santa Clara, last year, I believe, was going through a coaching change, so really, I still think a rebuilding year for Santa Clara. And then UCI will be taking on BYU, like I said earlier. UCI, a tough, tough team. BYU, you know, not necessarily a baseball school, more of a football and basketball school. Anyways, guys, that is all that I have for you today. My name is Daniel. Once again, this is the Sports Stew. I know I was just running through some numbers really right there and just telling you the weekend series. It's tough for college baseball because, you know, you don't necessarily get all the stats that you want. You just got to take my word for it. But anyways, guys, I'm going to be wrapping up here. Once again, this is KSMC 89.5 Moraga. I will be on next week at this same time from 12 to 1. I do have a show tomorrow. It's called RBI, which is Radio Baseball Info. That is all about baseball, which is, my favorite sport. And hopefully I will have a guest host, actually. Tomorrow I will have someone co-hosting with me, my communications teacher, David Benin, who is a Philadelphia Phillies fan. So if you guys could listen in then, you guys will be able to get some insight, not just from me, but from another source, which is always beneficial. So we will have more of a discussion basis. There's really no topic for tomorrow. More of just where it leads us. You know, I in the past 6 weeks, I did talk about each division. We might go over, you know, the outlook of the whole season and the way teams are spending. And it seems like everyone, you know, is in it for the now, and they're trading away their prospects like no other. You know, who's going to really reap the benefits in 5 years from now? Anyways, guys, that's all I got for you today. Once again, my name is Daniel. This is the Sports Stew, and this is KSMC 89.5. Have a good day, guys.